Reading for today is another reading from Luke, and this is from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26, and it's the Sermon on the Plain. So you may not be as familiar with this as you are with the Sermon on the Mount, but in many ways it's very similar, and I'm going to be talking about that a little bit more. So do I need to read that, or will someone read it? I'll read it. Okay, I'm going to have to come out here to read it. All right, reading from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26, and I believe this is from the New Living Version. A little bit easier to understand. When they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area, surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. There were people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem, and from as far north as the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Everyone tried to touch him because healing power went out from him, and he healed everyone. Then Jesus turned to his disciples, and he said, "God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. What blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man. When that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven." And remember, their ancestors treated the ancient prophets that same way. "However, what sorrow awaits you who are rich, for you have your only happiness now. What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger awaits you. What sorrow awaits you who laugh now, for your laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. What sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds, for their ancestors also praised false prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. As I said, you may not be as familiar with this version as you are with the Sermon on the Mount, which it takes place in Matthew, the fifth chapter. But you know, the message is essentially the same. There are some differences. First of all, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, Jesus goes up to the mountain. Just as Moses, you might recall in the Old Testament, went up on Mount Sinai to receive the law. Well, Jesus goes up on the mountain to proclaim grace. Another difference between the two is that in the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus comes down from the mountain. He comes to be on the level plain, the level area, which symbolizes where we are. And you know, in the Old Testament, the level areas symbolize places of suffering, places of desperation, places of anxiety, places of hardship. And the beautiful thing about this is that Jesus comes down from the mountain to embrace our suffering and our hardship. He's not going up to the mountain as in Matthew. He's coming down to embrace our suffering, to embrace our hurt, to embrace our pain. And so those are some slight differences between Matthew's version and Luke. Now, some scholars think that it may have been one and the same message and that Luke has a different take on it than Matthew. I don't know. And none of the scholars really know for sure. Is the Sermon on the Plain a different place where Jesus preached? I don't know. But there's no doubt that it's essentially the same message. Now, let me talk a little bit about the background of what's happening here. Before Jesus preaches this message, he's been up on the mountain and he's been praying all night long, which wasn't unusual for Jesus. Jesus was a person of prayer. And so he prays all night, and then when the sun comes up, he talks to his disciples and sends them out as apostles. Now, the Greek word for apostle, apostello, means to be sent. And you know, as the disciples of Christ's church, we know what disciples are. We're followers of Jesus. But God doesn't stop there. God doesn't just expect us to follow Jesus. He expects us to go out and share Jesus with others. And that's where we're apostles. We're not the same kind of apostles, but we are sent. We are blessed to be a blessing, as Abraham, you might recall, was. That's why we're here. We're not here for ourselves, but we're blessed to be a blessing. So, all these people are gathered on the plain to hear Jesus. They've traveled, in some cases, 100 miles. Some of them came from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. That was a long walk. That was 100 miles. So you're talking probably a journey of 4, 5, 6 days. They'd heard about Jesus. They'd heard about his miracles. They heard about his phenomenal message. There were some who came from Jerusalem and Judea. And I don't know if you've ever been to Israel, but it's pretty desolate between Jerusalem and Galilee. And remember, Jesus is preaching just off the shore of the Sea of Galilee in a level place, according to this passage. That would have been quite a journey for people from Jerusalem to make through that wilderness, because I want to tell you, it looks like a moonscape, particularly when you get around Jericho. It's pretty desolate looking. But anyway, they've traveled all this way to hear Jesus. And we read that healing came forth from Jesus. He doesn't go out on the boat to get away from them, as he does in other areas of the Gospels. No, he's there with them, sharing their suffering, healing them. And so that's the background of what we see here. Now, I've called this sermon Plain Talk. And the reason I call it Plain Talk is because Jesus is speaking from a plain, but also he is telling us how things really are. Not as how they should be, but how they really are. And that's pretty controversial. You know, I really miss the days when we used to really have journalists. Do you remember that? Rather than just commentators or editorial. Today, you can't tell the difference between when someone's editorializing and reporting the facts. You remember Walter Cronkite? Didn't you love him? He would tell you the news and only the news, not his opinion. And what did he say at the end of each day? That's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's what Jesus is saying here. When he talks about the blessings and the woes, he's saying this is the way it is. Not the way it should be, but the way it is. He's telling us things as they are. You probably heard that old story about the three umpires. One umpire says, I call them as I see them. I call them as I see them. The second umpire says, I call them as they are. And the third umpire says, they ain't nothing till I call them. Well, Jesus is like the second umpire. He calls things as they are. And so that's what he's doing here. And unlike in the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, you remember the 9 Beatitudes? There's just blessings there. But here, there's blessings and woes. There's blessings and woes. Blessed are you who are poor, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those of you who mourn, because you will be comforted. You will laugh. Blessed are you who are empty, because you will be filled with good things. Blessed are you when people curse you and revile you and exclude you from their presence. Rejoice and be glad, because that's what they did to the ancient prophets. You're in good company. That's the good news. But then he talks about the woes. But woe to you who are wealthy, because you have your reward. You've enjoyed what you're going to have. Woe to you who's laughed now, because you will soon mourn. Woe to you who are full and have many things, because you will be empty. Woe to you when people love you and praise you and want to be around you, because that's the way they were with the false prophets. The false prophets were popular. But you will have woe as well. There's going to be a great reversal, Jesus says. A great reversal. So what is he saying here? Is he saying that we need to just all be poor? Is he saying that we need to always mourn and be sad? Is he saying that we need to be empty of things? Is he saying that we need to not have any friends and just try and alienate ourselves from people? That's not what he's saying, folks. What he is saying is that all these things are not important in God's economy. What it really is important is that we are loved and accepted by Christ. And we need to be centered in God and not centered on ourselves. We need to try and satisfy God instead of satisfying ourselves. We need to be centered in God and Jesus Christ and not centered on ourselves. Henry Nouwen was a Dutch priest. He was born in 1932 and he died in 1996. He talked a lot about identity. He talked a lot about social justice and about ministry. But you know, identity, who am I, is the key question. It was a key question for Henry Nouwen, and it should be the key question for us. There's a lot of people in our world who don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. And they try to get their identity from the world. Nouwen in this passage said that there are three questions that come up from the who am I. The first question is, or the first answer is, I am what I have. I am what I have. The second one is, I am what I do. And the third is, I am what people think about me. How people think about me. You know, there's a lot of people, though, today who are confused about who they are. In the 19th century, there was a German theologian by the name of Friedrich Schleiermacher. He had a great influence upon Germany and German thought in the 19th century. But when he became old, he was sitting on a park bench one day, dressed in kind of shabby clothes, and a police officer, thinking he was a vagrant, came up to him and shook him and said, "Who are you? Who are you?" You know what he said? "I wish I knew. I wish I knew." There are a lot of people that are like that. A lot of people try to get their identity from what society tells them. Some of us think that our identity comes from what we have. Society tells us that you're not anybody unless you're rich, unless you have a lot of money. And there are a lot of people who buy into that. Some people answer that question of who am I by what I do. How successful am I? How much have I accomplished in the world from a worldly standard? And you know, it's sad when people do that because they really miss out on what it really means to be who I am. I think of Jim Valvano. I don't know if you remember Jim Valvano. He was once the coach of North Carolina State University. And he had an all-star basketball team. I remember they defeated one time the University of Houston. I don't know if you remember Phi Slamma Jamma, but they were a great team. Well, Jim Valvano was once interviewed by a reporter. And you might recall that Jim Valvano died at 57. He had spinal cancer. And the reporter was interviewing him. And he said, you know, he said, "I'll never forget when I was 24 and I was coaching a small college. He said, I said to my boys that I was coaching that the score gives us our identity. And if you win, your identity is you're a winner. If you lose, you're a loser. And he said to the reporter, and my boys said, no, that's not right. That's not right. What's important is that we participate and give it our best. He didn't agree. It took 24 years for him to come down with cancer. When he had nights that he woke up in sweats from the chemotherapy treatment and the pain. And he had nightmares about dying. But after that, he said to the reporter, I realized what's really important. He said, those boys were right. They were right. It's not important where we win or lose. It's important that we participate, that we try, that we don't give up. And then finally he said this, God, I would have been a wonderful human being if I just realized that. Our identity isn't found in what we have, nor is it found in what we do. Well, there's some people who think that our identity comes from fame, from people loving us, idolizing us. That if we just have enough people that like us, then we'll have an identity. And you know, we put on all kinds of masks, masking who we really are, to pretend that we're something that we're not. And you know, if you don't know this already, fame is fleeting. How many of you have ever heard of Taylor Swift? Okay. Taylor Swift is probably the most successful, even since the Beatles, one of the most successful singers ever. And yet, did you see the Super Bowl? A lot of booze there for her. A lot of booze. Fame is fleeting, my friends. It doesn't last. It doesn't last. What Jesus is telling us is our identity is not found in what we have. It's not found in what we do. It's not found in what people think of us or whether they like us or not. What he's telling us, you know where our identity is found? It's found in his love for us. We are important because we are loved by God through Jesus Christ. That's where our identity comes from. And we need to never forget that. It comes from our connection with Jesus Christ. That's where our identity comes. Not from anything else. Not what we have, not what we do, not how we're liked. But from our connection to Jesus Christ. Now, what good is this? Folks, I'll be candid with you. We're living in a time that I've never seen before. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, much less 3 months or a year from now. It's crazy the things that I see happening every day, and I can't believe what I'm hearing. I don't know what the future may hold for us, but I will tell you this. No matter what we have to face, if we are connected in Jesus Christ, if we are centered in Him, we will be able to endure whatever storms may come our way. And I am convinced there are some serious storms coming our way, folks. It's like Jesus once talked about. You remember the parable of the man who built his structure on the sand and on the rock? You better be built on the rock. You better be centered in Christ for the storms that are coming, because they're coming. And those that aren't centered in Christ are going to be destroyed. I don't know how much time we have, but we need to be ready. We need to be centered in Christ, and that's what the Sermon on the Plain is about. It's not about becoming poor or becoming rich or being well-liked or not being well-liked. All those things are unimportant. What is important is our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not what we know, it's who we know. And that's Jesus. That's what it all comes down to. So I want to extend an invitation to you this morning. I want to ask you, are you ready for the storms that are coming our way? Are you founded on the rock? Do you know who you are? That you're a beloved child of God through Jesus Christ when we're centered in Him. I hope that you know that. But I extend that invitation to you if you don't. And we'll give that invitation in just a few moments. Let's join together in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you that through Jesus Christ, you love us, and through him we have our Christian identity. That we don't have to be afraid of whatever may come our way, because if we're centered in you, we know that we are founded on a rock and we can endure whatever storms may come our way. Help us, Lord, to be ever focused on you instead of pleasing ourselves. And help us to share that message of good news with all those in the world, which is everyone, all that you love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Precious memories, unseen angels, sent from somewhere to my soul. How they linger ever near me, and the sacred scenes unfold. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Precious Father, loving Mother, fly across the lonely years, and old home scenes of my childhood in fond memory appear. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. I remember Mother praying, Father too on bended knee. Sun is sinking, shadows falling, but their prayers still follow me. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious secret scenes unfold. Precious memories fill my soul.